Phil Foden, Phil the fraud. You want to talk about a fraud? Phil the fraud Foden. I'm telling you, dude, these fucking City boys, without their daddy Pep, they don't know what the fuck they're doing. They don't know how to play, bro. They're carried by a system. We here.
Yes, sir.
Hello, hello. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Real Football Podcast. This is episode 53 and part of our Euros edition. Not only are we covering the 3 days that have just happened at the Euros, not only do we have the Ukraine-Romania game on right now,
Ukraine of fraud
just scored a screamer,
yeah.
We're also bringing you our 2024 Copa America preview today, and yes, helping me with that, these two lovely gentlemen. At the top of my Zoom screen is Blake. How are you doing, Blake?
I'm doing well. I'm excited that we have football for the next month consistently. It's going to be amazing.
Oh my God, we're going to be so degenerate. Antoine, yeah. What about you?
I'm doing amazing. I hope everyone listening is doing good as well. Hope everyone's enjoying the peak life that we're experiencing. And it's going to be getting even better with Copa.
It'll be even more peak life once Copa America starts, exactly, and Canada starts. Because yeah, like I said, I was telling Julian, I'm a little more excited for the Copa America than I am for the Euros. I'm going
to
be honest.
That is so odd to me, bro. Why?
That is odd, but Blake, I've noticed he's made a little bit more of an effort in terms of watching the Euros, because he's always shitting on international tournaments, and now I see him in the group chat talking about every game. So, hey, if you're watching every game, Blake,
yo, okay,
props
to you. I got to watch, you know? I cannot watch.
There you go. There you go.
Yeah, I don't know. And the Euros have been really, really fun so far, except for the England game. But
they have
could have saw that. We could have saw that coming.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I don't know how to feel about the Copa America, because we've never really gone through it as North Americans. Never got hyped for it.
Yeah.
But, man, now that I know I'm going to watch it with you on Thursday, Blake, I'm hyped for
yeah,
it.
No, it'll be a different experience. Because we were all used to be just outsiders. It was just attaching to players that played for our club. For me, it was Alexis Sanchez. I'm sure you guys can attest to having someone in South America who you loved. But yeah, it didn't come from that place of home where we get to really cheer for a team that is our team. So it's fun that we have that opportunity this time around. And Canada may have a chance the more I've been looking at the groups, but we'll get to that eventually.
Yeah, well, should we start with the Euro review? Kind of look through every game that's happened so far, or do you want to start with the meat and potatoes of the Copa America?
No, let's go Euros first. Let's go Euros first, I think.
Let's go Euros. Yeah. Let's go Euros, all right? I've been freaking loving this tournament. Mm-hmm. Antoine, you mentioned peak life. I mentioned to my mom that this is peak life yesterday, and she's like, oh, men, what's wrong with them? But she'll never understand, dude.
Yeah,
Romania is about to score again. Holy shit.
Yeah, Romania look good.
Oh man, there's gonna be so many times where we just go silent for
yeah,
a few
I know,
seconds.
For real.
Okay. Let's talk Germany Scotland, boys. It was the opening game with the group. I didn't really know how to feel about Germany going into this tournament, but I knew they'd look good in this game. Scotland, I didn't have the highest expectations for, but holy shit.
Yeah.
Wow.
The song just gets a holy
and
shit.
Andrew
on
Robertson
both spectrums
celebrated winning a goal kick. And from there, it was all downhill for the Scots.
Yeah, the song didn't carry them as much as I thought it would. I had a lot of faith in that Tartan Army song, but kind of cooked, lads.
Yeah,
kind of cooked.
Didn't do much. No, but Germany look really impressive. And I don't know if it's Scotland doing bad, but man, that front three, that Wirtz, Musiala, Havertz, we are fucked.
Honestly, Havertz, his story arc, obviously he's my Arsenal boy, but holy shit, from, you know, scoring the Champions League final, being at the very highest of footballing hierarchy that you can kind of go in the club world, to, you know, being with a Chelsea team that just was not good and failing and going through a crisis, and then getting the move to Arsenal, the first couple of weeks don't do well and it's not looking good for him, and then he just finds it, and he's continued to find it up until the Euros. Obviously he got that penalty goal, which is, I guess, not in play, but it's still a goal. And it's just, I think I never want to ever fail to bring up his resurgence because I was so wrong about him. So I always feel like I need to bring that up and say how sorry I am to Mr. Kai.
Yeah, no, he played a really decent game. I mean, people fail to forget that he was the Florian Wirtz before Florian Wirtz. He was the guy coming out of Leverkusen that had the whole world on their toes, only imagining what the rest of his career would look like. So now that he's actually playing good, I feel like people are surprised a little bit. Like, oh, this guy's coming
absolutely
out of nowhere after playing shit for Chelsea.
Yeah, he plays that similar.
He was that guy.
Yeah, yeah. They're Wirtz and Musiala. I feel like we just forgot to talk about Jamal Musiala heading into this tournament because like all the hype was around Florian Wirtz and the Arsenal star and all the midfielders. But holy, I forgot about that guy, how freaking good he is. Like, we hype Florian Wirtz as like one of the most dynamic young players in the world. Musiala is the exact same age, been doing it for years, and might be even better.
Yeah, on the ball, Musiala, just watching him dribble is simply,
oh my god,
fucking insane. Like, I don't have even words to describe it. He just has an ability to get past players that so few are able to replicate. So it's really, really cool to watch him.
It's like a new look Germany almost. We've never had these wingers for Germany, the explosive wingers that we have today in Wirtz and Musiala.
That's a good point.
One player that I remember being as explosive.
Like over the last few years, you could say Sané, but even that quality, when you saw him come on compared to what they started with, oh my goodness.
Ukraine are hitting long
compare those two, and it's night and day. That guy looks like an amateur.
Sané looked coming on for those terrible. Two. He looked awful. It was so hard to watch. Awful.
And I also like the creativity that these two wingers bring because Germany's always been this very strict team, not very creative, but they get the job done. They have a crazy mentality.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like it's never been the team that are very expressive on the field, do skill moves, all that. It's very just football, like passes, goal.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Now, with Wirtz and Musiala, it brings a whole other dynamic to the German squad that not many nations are used to playing against. And could brew into something really, really good to win the whole thing. Romania almost scored.
Yeah, that was a crazy corner tactic there. What is it? The remontada?
They almost scored a freaking Olympico.
Olympico, not remontada. That's hilarious. Yeah, no, big up to Germany. And Scotland are cooked. Like, they're so cooked.
Scotland were so bad. Like, I'm
team at the Euros.
Oh, my goodness. The way that they were just letting Toni Kroos have all the time in the world.
Bro.
Just, I know that he was so deep, but like so many of Germany's chances, just holy god.
Yeah,
it just came off the bar. Didn't even touch it.
Yeah.
So many of their chances came from Kroos, time on the ball, sprays it out to one of the wingers, isolates that winger on their side. They take a defender on one-on-one, and then from that point, it's curtains, you know?
Yeah, that happened way too often.
And then Gundogan was so good in there too on the half turn in transition. Oh my god.
Yeah, there's not a lot you can fault Germany on performance for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Anyways, let's go on to the next game because Germany are old news by this point. Their next game is on, let me see, the 19th, which is in 2 days' time.
Mm.
So we've almost gone through a game from every team.
That's crazy.
So let's go the next day. At 9 a.m., we had Hungary-Switzerland, one of my dark horse candidates, Hungary, against a Switzerland team I wasn't feeling too good about. But the Swiss got the good job done, winning 3-1. I don't think Hungary were actually that bad, but they played some pretty good football, the Swiss, and do what they always do here at the Euros.
Yeah, I thought the Swiss were really fun to watch. Really, really fun to watch.
Yeah, that first half performance especially, that was a great first half they put on.
And I'm trying to even think, bro.
A couple of big decisions that the coach made, starting Dua, the goal scorer, the first goal scorer.
Yeah. Up top, yeah.
Yeah, I have no idea who he is, but good on him.
I know, I can't even remember
I didn't know Ricardo Rodriguez was still kicking it. I thought he was retired, but this man is just 31. Now he's playing as center back.
Yeah, dude.
Like, what?
He's doing the opposite of the Pep thing, playing fullbacks.
Yeah.
The center backs at fullback. Yeah. You just move in the middle. I can't even remember any of the goals. Like, I'm trying to think of any of the goals. I can't remember any of them. Like, I know it wasn't first that long ago. I cannot remember a single one.
The almost offside.
Yeah, right, that one. Yeah, that was the first.
Then it was overturned. And then there was the long shot from outside the box, tucked into the bottom right.
Yeah.
Remember that one?
Oh,
and then
yeah.
Mbolo came on and he scored.
Oh, yeah.
The keeper,
yeah.
And then Hungary scored a header.
Yeah. I do remember. Okay, fair.
But a great little performance from Switzerland. I feel like everyone's kind of writing them off. They always. It's because it's not the Shaqiri era anymore. Shaqiri's not playing, so everyone thinks they're going to do shit, but they have good talent that can bring them pretty far.
Yeah. Man, Hungary, man. You're letting me down here.
Yeah. Loki, all the dark forces are letting us down.
They still have time.
They do still have time.
Luckily, like, yeah. losing your first match in the Euros isn't as detrimental as it is in the World Cup because you still have the chance to get that third place ticket into the knockouts. So it's not the end of the world. However, it's still going to be a rough ride for Hungary. They got to have to really, really perform well in their next game.
Anyways, Croatia, let's go to that one.
That was a shock.
3-0. 3-0 to Spain. 3-0 at halftime to Spain. I didn't know it was going to be this comfortable for them.
Yeah.
And Spain not only surprised me with the scoreline, kind of surprised me in the way they played.
Really?
In what sense?
So, you think of Spain, and what kind of play style do you think of?
Okay, tiki-taka, da-da-da. Yeah.
Tiki-taka, all that stuff. But, like, I'm tuning into the Spain game kind of expecting to see that because it's what we're used to. But it was like I was watching Real Madrid. It was directness. It was center back to center midfielder, straight ball up to Morata. He's through on goal. We never see that with Spain. Yeah. It was like that Real Madrid play style that's kind of found its way onto Spain. And, like, I'm kind of shocked by it, to be honest. Yeah, that was my thought.
No, I mean, he's casually Croatia playing looked the best game he's played all season and winning man of the match is kind of crazy to me.
Who?
Because he
Sorry?
Didn't do that once for PSG.
So oh, Fabian. Fabian. I thought, because what? Did Livakovic, did he, I'm trying to think, was I thought he could have played a little better this game because didn't he let him one that like went off his glove or something? Like, he got to it.
Yeah.
Didn't have this game. You kind of, especially if you'd like a save on the one where he could reach it at least. But, I mean, Croatia just didn't look good at all. There was just no outlet for them to break out. And
I thought they looked decent. I was going to say it's the complete opposite from Germany-Scotland where Spain played so good against a team that I think could still do very good in this tournament. I don't think they're out at all. I think they showed in the first half especially a bunch of good qualities that could lead to goals. I think Spain ultimately just towered over them, completely dominated the game in a way that they were suffocated. I think Spain might be one of the best teams in the tournament. Like top three, top four for sure.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I was going to say, I just thought they couldn't break out. I thought Spain just did a really good job of controlling any sort of counterattack and pressing from the front. And it was just hard for Croatia to really do anything by the means of counterattacking quickly after they soaked up pressure. That's why I'd say that it was just a fail for Croatia. But Spain is a good team. You know, it's good. It's not like they're playing Scotland, so fuck.
Boys, can we talk about Lamine Yamal? Holy
He's
shit.
So good.
Oh my god. Like, I was obviously all the hype was around him being the youngest starter in Euros history. And I was like, okay, that's pretty cool. But this kid's my brother's age. Like, let's see what he can do, trying to give him pity points. And this guy was, for the most of the game, the best player on the field. Every time the ball went to this kid, something is happening. He's skipping past someone. He's putting in a pinpoint cross to Danny Carvajal for that goal. Oh my goodness.
He's phenomenal.
Like, he almost got one himself. Mm-hmm. Like, man. Wow. He's like, that's scary.
Yeah. And I don't know, wingers are usually fun to watch, but he's fun to watch. And I feel like Spain as well. They're not really known for their wingers. And it seems like a lot of these young players now are coming out on the wide positions. But man, like if you can see in 10 years the next, if his trajectory continues, you can, you know, see a new 9-year-old being like, man, I want to be like Yamin Lamal. That's who I want to be like. I don't know. It might be, you know, who knows? But wow, he's fun to watch. And that's the biggest compliment I think I can give him, is that there's a lot of aspects of his game that are attractive to the eye of the viewer, which I think is important.
Yeah, it's actually crazy how insane this kid is. They're kind of like in the middle of two generations, Spain. So in a couple years time, with Yamal, with Pedri, with Gavi, maybe Nico Williams is better.
I thought he had a cool game too.
God. Yeah, he did. He played pretty well.
Yeah.
So just the future looks bright for Spain. You got to hope that they have more talent coming through, obviously, but fuck, man. And then Croatia's on the complete opposite side of that. They're kind of leaving their golden generation.
Yeah.
And they're like, they still have some good players who will be good for the next little while, but like Budimir up front, like, oh my God.
And Vardiol got kind of cooked, lads.
He did. He did. And at least here on FUTMOB, it said he played left back.
Yeah.
So, shit.
Well, yeah. Hey, I don't know. Some of these City boys, besides Rodri, I guess, but even he didn't have a crazy good game. But some of these City boys, I don't know. Looking a bit fragile. System, it's a little fraud. System backing them up. That's all I'm going to say.
Oh, we'll get to Phil Foden. Don't worry. Don't worry.
Do you want to
Okay, but anyways, Croatia didn't look that good. Spain looked fucking scary. Let's move on to the next game, where Italy...
So mid, dude.
Weeks out a win against Albania.
So
after
mid.
Albania scored the fastest goal... Goal de Bahrami. The fastest goal in Euros history.
So, funny story about this game. So, I was at the Jays game, and obviously I had it on. Are you kidding me? So, it was the national anthems, right? Because the Jays game started at 3:07. So, the national anthems were going on. And it was the American national anthem, and I just had it like on my... We had standing seats, so I just had it. And I see the throw-in taken as like the... Oh, say does that... And I'm telling you, when I saw him smacking in the back of the net, I literally screamed, and everyone looked at me during the anthems. I was like, bro, I'm sorry, but we're witnessing history here. Like, Italy's about to crack.
The Albanians are doing it. I'm so...
Yeah. But yeah, that was short-lived. Unfortunately, that hype was short-lived.
Yeah, like that was... Oh my God. The fact it was Bayrami as well. You texted that in the chat, and I was like... I thought it was like just going to be a joke. Like, we've joked about Bayrami before, but the fact that it was him against Italy.
Goal.
Oh my God.
Bro, it was perfect.
Because I didn't have the game on right away.
Yeah.
I was in the car. So I was like, oh, I missed the first few minutes, whatever. Fuck, man.
That's exactly what happened to me. I finished work right at 3. Then I go home. It's already 1-0. Jeez.
Yeah. Nah, it was crazy.
And then the Inter boys showed up.
Mm-hmm.
And really good. And then Italy kind of woke up. I think actually Albania scoring early was like the best thing that could have happened to Italy. Because I thought they were going to come in, they're going to be slow, they're going to be a little bit sluggish. They weren't really going to have like that kind of like killer instinct like they should against these smaller teams that's kind of screwed them over the past couple years. And then maybe Albania can nick one at the end. But kind of happened in the opposite order, and that kind of woke Italy up from the start, and they looked pretty good after the goal.
30 goal from Barella, by the way.
Yeah. Oh
my God. Dirty goal.
On that?
It's not even just the technique. Disgusting. But how fast he adjusted his body for that. Disgusting. Oh my God.
And people are now realizing that he's one of the best midfielders in the world. Even me, I used to shit on him.
Yeah.
How the hell is this Serie A center mid one of the best midfielders in the world, all that. But yo, he played a great game.
that's what's really nice about these. I mean,
yeah, and he's been around for so long too, but we kind of just forget the talent in Italy.
Exactly. The Euros is really always a good reminder of how talented Europe as a fucking continent is, and the players in it, how good mm-hmm. they are, and how lucky we are. We have five fucking major leagues, maybe six if you want to count Portugal or whoever, with like players just stacked with talent. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, man. And the center backs of Italy look really good too. Obviously, Bastoni grabbed a goal. That corner was really well taken.
It was a FIFA
and
corner.
And then Calafiori set piece goal. Looked fucking amazing. Calafiori is now getting all the hype. And it's really funny because he's had a great season with Bologna. And all like the Juventus fans are happy because he's linked with them.
Yeah. Mm.
But now that he's putting on a good performance here at the Euros, you're like, shit.
Yeah,
Premier League casuals are discovering Calafiori. Fuck. Okay, so Juventus might get beat out by like an Aston Villa with a 20 mil bid or something.
True. Oh,
what are you saying, Blake?
No, I was gonna say, well, I guess we can talk about it later, but Chiesa came off with an injury, which I think is obviously important to note.
Yeah, this guy still got man of the match, played a great game. Same thing almost as Lamine Yamal.
He's just a different animal.
Every time he had the ball, something happened.
Yeah.
Which I don't know how he does this every time in the Euros. It's just his tournament. I don't remember doing one notable thing.
I know, Spaghetti Mafia is so here, dude.
But Spaghetti Mafia's back.
Oh my God. Spaghetti Mafia's back. Yeah. Like, they're the center mid duo of Barella and Jorginho, I fucking love. Their center backs are really good. Their wing backs look really good. Like,
if they
can get production from the wings, they're looking good.
Yeah, solid. I'm just not convinced fully. I just think, I don't know. Star power wise, it's hard to compare them to any of the other major European nations. That's but you're fair. Right.
They weren't the greatest here.
Yeah.
But there are signs there.
That's fair.
Excited to see the Spain Italy game because those, oh my God, it's going to be a great game. Oh, it better not be a nil-nil.
Good game. Oh, I could
no,
see.
No, no, no so far, eh? Okay.
None of those.
No, nil, nil, no. Yeah. Shit, man. We had a 1-1. Shall we move to the next game?
Oh, you're missing, game of the week. You're missing a game, dude.
I'm missing a game. Which game am I missing?
You missed the 9 o'clock game
Which
yesterday.
Game am I missing?
You went straight to the 1-1.
Poland-Netherlands.
That was the 12 o'clock.
Oh, of course, of course. The Poland-Netherlands game first. It's the third in the list here, so.
Fair.
Allow me. But Poland-Netherlands was the first game of the day. Blake, tell us about your experience watching this game.
Yeah, so I was a little, I don't know how to PG say this. I was a little cronk, as people say, the night before. So, like extremely. So watching this was an ethereal experience, a interesting experience, an unfun experience. However, I couldn't miss Poland. And to be fair, the lads played decent. I know they kind of got shelled a little at times and a lot of pressure was being put on by the Dutch, but all things considered, Poland hasn't played like that in a major tournament in a really long time. Like, I don't know if you guys remember the World Cup. We didn't really, we won a game in our group stage and obviously we made it through, but we did not play well. It was not fun to watch. Mm-hmm. Like, the fans were really unhappy with everything that was going on with the team. But reading all the comments on the Polish Instagram and going on Twitter and just watching the game in general, there's a lot to like with this Poland team with literally like three of their main strikers all being injured.
Yeah.
So I know they lost and Netherlands, you know, they look okay. Look, they looked good. Like they definitely had the brunt of the chances. If we go up against Austria and if Leva's back, like I genuinely think there's a real chance we can nick a win. Hopefully.
No Austria slander on this podcast. Anyways.
I don't know. What did you guys think of the game? No.
What did I think of it? I thought you guys played decent. I mean, I only tuned in for the second half, but the way in which you guys were attacking when you did have the ball was promising. You guys weren't on the front foot a lot, but when you were on the front foot, it looked like you guys knew what to do.
Yeah.
So I'm optimistic in terms of you guys being able to score goals. What I'm not optimistic for is you guys keeping possession. Just the whole.
I know. And that's why he brought on Motor right when halftime hit. Like, he brought him on in the 46th. I think he needs to start. Like, he's kind of more attacking than the rest of the midfield. But I think he needs to start because he's really good at keeping possession. And I wasn't totally convinced by, I don't even know how to say his fucking name. Romanchuk. I was not even aware of this guy, to be honest. Like, I'll be so here with you. I don't know. We'll see what happens. The Dutch looked okay.
Should it even be your goal to keep possession? Does that make sense? Or should you embrace that, like, counterattacking style?
You're right. And I guess that's why he went with the players he did. But I don't know. Like, against Austria, I feel like you're right. You go for more possession. Yeah, you go for more possession base, you might get opened up and, you know, you might get punished for that. So it's a good point. I guess that's why I'm not the manager, because I didn't even think of that. So
Zalewski looks good, though. I like him a lot.
He's really talented. He's fun to watch. Last winger that was Polish that I used to like watch was fucking Blaszczykowski. So
wow,
it's been a while.
And then Wout Weghorst. Little apology, boys, for Wout Weghorst.
Bro, no. And also, hold on. The Dutch's first goal, like, so unlucky, dude. Like, fuck.
I know.
Just a deflection.
The game in it.
I know. Anyway.
Cody Gakpo, man, he's a different animal for the Netherlands, I swear.
Yeah.
Same and with Wout Weghorst.
His celebration was so cold, too, after. He just kind of walked away. I know it was a deflection. He's kind of walked away. He was like, yeah, I just do this. This is what I do. God, bro. Anyway.
So annoying, eh?
Yeah. Oh, well.
Oh, well. Yeah, it's you know, not the most promising of starts for the Netherlands, but it's a start. So let's see where they can go with this.
Yeah, for sure.
A win is a win. Indeed, exactly. Bro. All right, now let's move to the 1-1. Let's move to Slovenia, Denmark, where things were looking smooth sailing for the Danish in that first half. And then Slovenia, God, Benjamin Sesko looked good. Pulls it back with 15 to go.
Oh, my God, guys.
Holy shit.
I know he didn't score, but Jesus Christ, boys. That man is going to be one of the best strikers of our generation.
Yeah, I can see it, to be honest with you. It's not even like he got many chances like at goal, but it was like it was the hold up play, and then sometimes he just said, F it, I'm gonna shoot from 30 yards, and then he gets
the one-on-one.
Like,
he sends rockets and they're on target.
And he did not smile once this whole game.
I know, just like, mad professional.
Yeah.
This is actually one of the games I didn't really watch that much. This is like one of the only games out of the five or however many games that were fucked.
Yeah, I mean, lunchtime during Father's Day is always tough to watch, but yeah. I kind of had it on in my ear listening to it. I kind of watched more of the first half where I thought Netherlands fucking dominated, and I was like, holy shit. Like, this is crazy.
Wait, you mean Denmark?
Denmark?
Oh, yeah, Denmark.
Yeah.
Yeah. They looked really good. Their goal was really well taken. Eriksen scoring the goal was like a great story. He dominated this game.
You got anything to say about Eriksen?
Took it really well.
Do you got anything to say?
Look, 1,100 days, boys, since that terrible accident that nobody should joke about. And it's great to see.
It's a pretty special story, especially because their first game at the year, first game at the Euros, and that's where he, like, I was gonna say it. I was going to say the R word, R-E-V, Biden. I didn't want to. But it's nice that he rejuvenates that storyline and kind of ties a bow on what was an awful chapter for football. So glad that that was a cool moment for him.
Yeah, it kind of tugs your heartstrings. Yeah, besides that, what?
You're awful. You're an awful person.
You're actually terrible, dude.
You're terrible.
You
disgust me, Julian.
Stop.
Lads, what do we think about England?
Frauds.
Yeah, see, I don't see that. I think that's harsh. Harsh.
No, because how can you be favorites of the tournament and park the bus against Serbia in the 50th minute? You can't tell me that's a good tactic from Gareth.
It's so dumb. It's so dumb. And I think it's going to cost them, just like it cost them in the last Euros finals and like it cost them against Croatia and how it's cost them kind of a few times in big moments. But like, hey, man, it got the job done.
Yeah.
Serbia had a lot of possession, especially in the second half. But like, did they ever look like scoring? You know?
Good point.
They had more shots than England. How do you have more shots than England as an underdog?
And almost all of those shots were just like peewees from 25 yards.
That's
like
fair.
They weren't doing nothing.
But they were still putting on the pressure that England... How do you go from completely dominating the game, having 80% of the possession in the first half, to conceding the possession in the second half? I don't understand what Gareth Southgate is doing. Why are you changing the tactics when you don't need to change the tactics? It's anti-football. It's the Simeone way of playing.
Just imagine if he was at United. Just imagine if that happened. What a time it would be.
Oh my God, bro. You see Erik ten Hag was on Dutch TV yesterday.
I think I know what you're going to say. But yeah, go ahead.
Covering the games.
Yeah.
I freaking love this manager, man. He's like, so many quotes coming out. And like, he's respectful to Ineos. But like, he's also like, I don't know. Ever since he won this FA Cup final, he's been moving different. Remember how he said after the game, he told Alan Shearer to his face, like, oh, maybe you don't know much about football. Yeah. And then he said, if Man United don't want me here, I'll go somewhere else and win trophies.
Yeah.
And then yesterday he was like, oh, you know, they interrupted my vacation in Ibiza. And they contacted Thomas Tuchel and a couple of managers, but then they realized they already have the best coach. So... And I was like, damn, okay, Erik.
He's tuning his horn for real.
I can't wait for next season already.
Yeah, see? But we want club football back. I know, I do too. Don't worry. I do too. I understand.
I know it's gonna be so bad. It's gonna be so bad. I know.
So even though that was the England lineup that I thought they should have went through for the first game, they need to like completely change it. Not completely, but the left side, okay, hold on. Trippier, I don't know what the fuck he's doing, first of all. Didn't have a good game at all.
They need Luke Shaw back.
Yeah, he didn't have a good season either, so it doesn't surprise me.
But it's like, are you putting cripple Luke Shaw, who hasn't played a game in 4 months? Like, yeah, you are, unfortunately. He got you now.
Yep.
Phil Foden, Phil the fraud. You want to talk about a fraud? Phil the fraud, Foden. I'm telling you, dude, these fucking City boys, without their daddy Pep, they don't know what the fuck they're doing. They don't know how to play, bro. They're carried by a system. It's clockwork. Like, fuck. He played terrible. How the fuck did he have a better fault mob rating than Saka? Everyone in the England squad was above a 7.
Here we go. We're cooked, Julian. For the next 15.
Yes. Oh, my Lord. Here we go. Go on, then.
Bro, it doesn't make sense. Saka, he had... Bro, who was playing left back for Serbia? I don't even know. But he had him on fucking toast the whole game. He was going at him. He was stepping over. Bro, it was... He got the assist for Jude. And for some reason, he had a lower rating than everyone else in the squad. I don't understand. There's literally... It's the Arsenal agenda carries on into the Euros. Like, it's just the way it is. Oh, I go, it's okay. It happened. However, Trent needs to not play center mid either. You guys are bringing... You know what? Fuck it. Bring in Kobe Manu. Let's do it, bro. I'm here for it. Bring in Kobe. Let's do it.
So I'm looking at Fall Mob because I'm trying to play devil's advocate here and like... kind of compute why they would give him a bad rating. So played 76 minutes, zero goals. They didn't give him the assist on the...
It got deflected.
No, it was deflected.
Because I think it took a deflection.
It was deflected. So it was a ground pass initially.
Yeah. So it didn't count as an assist. It didn't count as a chance created. It didn't account as an accurate cross. So he made one of three crosses. He only had three touches in the opponent's box.
Oh my god.
He only created 0.02 XG.
Yeah, what about Foden?
That's goals and assists combined.
What did Foden do? What did
Foden
Kane
created,
do?
Foden actually created more
bro,
XGI than
Saka. I'm not doing this right now. I'm not doing this
all
right
this
now.
All this to say, Saka's a fraud.
Bro, literally stop. Him and Jude.
Saka, he won five duels and lost six. Fouled people twice. Made some good defensive recoveries.
Okay, you're literally just doing this to piss me off now. Like, stop. There's... Okay, look. All I'm saying is he should not have gotten that low of a rating. But the rest of the team actually needs to be questioned for sure. Like... Harry Kane, like that was a terrible performance. Like I don't know how you guys thought it went, but
I
thought his hold up play was not as good as it usually is. I mean the team didn't really do that well to get him involved. I thought Foden was terrible. I thought Trent looked out of his element. So there's some things that they need to wrap up and figure out before their game against. I mean, they're not even playing a lot of good teams because their group is easy. But, you know,
yeah,
I think you got to bring in Maynou or, I guess, Gallagher. But I don't know.
Well, the main problem that you haven't even talked about is Trent. Sorry, did you just bring up Trent?
I brought up Trent like a couple of times. You fucking asshole.
Oh, yeah, shit.
Wait, Anton, you heard me, right?
Yeah, no, I did. Yeah, I did. Okay.
Fuck, man, I've been so deep in these FOTMob ratings.
almost with a worldly.
Oh, my God. Sorry.
Go ahead, though.
Yeah, Trent just doesn't fucking work there. I'm sure you already said that. But playing, I don't understand how you can compute a good passer of the ball as a fullback, as a good box-to-box midfielder. I don't see that vision. One of his worst qualities as a fullback is his awareness of the game around him. His, like, so many times he's left an attacker at the back post because he doesn't know that he's there. He doesn't check his shoulder enough. And now you're going to put him in midfield where he has the whole game around him instead of in front of him. I think that's just I don't see the vision. Oh my god.
Yeah, y'all are cooked. I'm so sorry.
What a goal.
Who saw it? Antoine,
we're so cooked.
Oh my god.
Fuck, man. Dude, our reputation is
guys, this is the TR.
Bro, I had Ukraine winning the group. I had Ukraine winning the group. Oh my god.
Oh, it's cooked. It's cooked. Look at the replay.
Boys are cooked.
What a goal.
Two bangers, bro. Two bangers from the Romanians.
So fucking lucky, man. How are you supposed to predict that?
Oh, I love
it. Yeah, they have no talent, but you know, everybody can score a screamer.
Hey, Stanchu. Oh, fuck, man. What do you know about Marco Marin? Oh, that's not even, his name isn't even Marco. It's the wrong
whoever
Marin.
That is that did that work in the midfield, sign him. Look at this. Thunder.
No,
cunt.
Don't fucking. Oh my god.
Ooh, wait.
100 kilometers an hour, bro.
I don't know. Like,
bang.
Lunin does better. Nah, Lunin. Oh, brother.
Oh, Lunin.
Ooh, Lunin, bro.
Lunin. Bring on Trubin.
To be fair, okay,
yeah,
those ones were
that's
bound.
Both goals.
Yeah, that's kind of stinky. Stinky poo poo. I don't like that.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Oh, yeah. Went right under him.
Damn.
Oh, anyway, my God.
Back to Trent hating.
Rain, man.
Apologies, boys.
Go back to Trent hating. That's fine.
Yeah, anyways, Trent's a fraud. But, like, it doesn't have to be Maynou. Like, I'm fine with Gallagher there from an England perspective. Like,
I don't know. Like, I kind of think Maynou might be a little
better. I would like to see Maynou. I don't mind Maynou getting a rest. But, like...
A rest? Yeah, he's fucking 12 years old. What do you mean a rest, bro? Yeah. Let him play.
Because he's played like every minute for United since like January.
Fair. I kind of.
And we've driven so many players into the ground.
I don't know why. Like, I kind of like your youngsters, like Garna, Maynou.
Okay, pause. Damn.
Don't do that. You know what? I'm never fucking saying anything nice about United again, because this is what happens when I do. I was trying to give you a comment. Anyway.
You like our youngsters? Not going. Manu, Garnacho. You like Hoyland?
Oh, I don't love him. I don't love
no,
him.
No, you really hate him.
We didn't speak really on him during the Denmark game, but he's crazy. He frauded again.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Hoyland and the he. You better watch out for him in the Euros. Yeah, he had a fucking crazy game for sure, dog.
You didn't even watch it, so I'm not having that from you.
I didn't watch the game.
I'm not having that from you. Now who's watching fucking Foot Mob ratings and thinking they're credible? Anyways. Yeah, England kind of cooked. I thought the center back duo was pretty good. Stones and Gay looked man. Pretty solid.
Not bad.
Gay, man. Not I was bad. Not familiar with your game.
Yeah.
Not bad whatsoever.
Yeah.
I thought Declan Rice doing well as like that holding six. They don't really have anyone else to
he
compliment
thing.
Him, so he did well.
Mm-hmm.
So there are bright spots.
Yeah.
And I think this is low key the best possible result for England. Hear me out.
Like a wake up call kind of thing?
Oh my goodness.
Oh, almost three. God,
I thought it was three. Fuck. They still have it here. Romania cuts inside.
Oh, good shot. Save.
Blue hair. Oh my God.
You guys are
God.
Just so, you're so, at, behind, I love it. I used to get everything 10 seconds before.
Okay. What the fuck was I saying? So they got the setup wrong, but if they pumped Serbia like 3-0 here with this wrong setup, then Gareth wouldn't fucking change anything, would he? And then you would falter against the bigger
boys,
teams. I think
boys,
if England played
boys,
like they did yesterday
boys,
against
four,
Spain.
3-3-3-3-3.
Oh my God.
Man scored. This guy's name is Man. M-A-N, Man.
Bro, y'all are so cooked. This could never be my nation,
oh my
bro.
God.
This could
oh
never
my
be
God,
my nation.
Dude.
This is
oh
like Turkey.
My God.
Yo, this ago. Guy's crying in the stands, bro. Even he knows what's happening is fucking insane. That's crazy.
No, this is literally like Turkey. This is Turkey 4 years ago.
This was, oh my God.
It might have been offside, low key.
Get the coach out of there. Get him out.
Oh, just not offside at all.
Greatly worked.
What are we doing
that
here,
was,
lads?
That was a greatly worked set piece.
Oh my God. How are you getting done out like that?
Yikes, dude. Anyway, so you were saying not the worst result for them?
Probably the best result for them in terms of like,
yeah,
they got the 3 points. Plus, there are still concerns there that they need to improve, which means that they'll be better for these last two group games and going into the rest of the tournament. Argentina lost 2-1 against Saudi Arabia in the opening game of their World Cup, and it was the best thing that could have happened to them.
Yeah.
All right. So.
Hey.
So
not a bad.
So if Gareth has a brain cell and like actually looks at this game, then.
Yeah.
Then they'll get better. They'll get better.
And, dude, it's a pretty fitting time to bring up Argentina, don't you think?
We've been through all the games.
Yeah. We have been through all
the
games.
Should we segue to the tourney of champions?
All right.
The Canadian chance to win it all?
let's go to Copa America, boys.
Nice.
How are we feeling about this?
Oh, I'm buzzing. I am buzzing. Like, I actually can't wait. I'm so
it's
excited.
Very
dude.
It's very
I'm
exciting.
So excited. So how do you want to do this? You want to just go through all the groups and just kind of just see where we think? And I can spew some.
Yeah, we'll kind of speed run through it, and then do we want to make a bracket as well?
Nah.
I can have it on my phone here.
All right, I guess we can.
Okay.
Like a quick little bracket. We don't need to go as in depth as the Euros one.
I think they have it on phone. Well, let me make sure.
I'll start though. So Group A, which is Argentina, Peru, Chile, Canada, which looks like the group of death ish. But then I was doing some looking last night, and Chile might be the worst team in this group.
Yeah.
Because
they're definitely past their golden era for sure.
They're
it's been
totally,
like that for a couple of years
totally
now.
Totally past their golden era, and it's just like their whole team is just old. Like Claudio Bravo is still kicking in net for them at 41.
Jesus.
Yeah, it's crazy. Arturo Vidal, you know he still plays football? Did you know that? Arturo
no
Vidal.
FIFA card from like
yeah,
back in the day?
Bro, he still plays football. He didn't make the team, but he still plays football in like a Chilean league. It's just a really old squad with like not a lot of youth. Like their average age of their defense is like 32 or something. They have no influx of young talent or anything that can get the Chilean fans excited. And their boy Bielsa, who, you know, brought them their glory back in, what was it, 15, 16, when they won back-to-back or whatever, at the Copa America. Mm-hmm. He's with Uruguay now.
Crisis ever since.
Yeah, he's with Uruguay now. So, anyway, it'll be tough.
So, yeah, so they're looking, pretty bad. They've been in a crisis. Peru, similarly, like, they're also kind of in a sort of dead spot of their own. Like, they're very hard to judge because, like, they're slim on talent, have next to nobody.
Yeah.
They have 4 defeats and 6 World Cup qualifiers for 2026, and they didn't make the 2022 World Cup. But at the same time, they're coming off back-to-back semifinal appearances at the Copa America.
Yeah.
So very, very hard to judge.
And big up Pedro.
Again, no third place rule here. So
big up Pedro Galese.
Big up who?
Big up Pedro Galese.
He's like, sure, goalie, man. Plays, sure. Big up Pedro.
No, he's actually fun. He's fun to watch. He's a goalie. I think he plays for Orlando. He used to. Hold on. Is this to Orlando? Oh, that's ball knowledge, bro. Fuck yeah. Give me that shit. Yeah. He's fun to watch. Enough. Yeah. So we go through those two teams, and yes, Peru have a bit of the pedigree, so maybe, but man, the more you look at those two, the more the opportunity seems open for Canada to get in that second place spot.
Absolutely.
That's what I'm saying,
especially,
bro.
Their new coach is looking very, showing very promising things.
Hesse, bro. Hesse Marsh.
In the friendlies. I know it's just friendlies, but drawing to France isn't no small achievement,
bro.
Yeah.
It's
we
not.
Speak to Netherlands, but we're not going to talk about that.
Hey, bro, Netherlands. Hey. Yo, Netherlands been fucking my teams recently. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. I know, man.
Fair.
Yeah, so we're definitely a far cry from that team like 2 years ago. We have the talent to at least get out the group, like upset a few big fish.
I think so.
We can do it, boys.
I think so. And what I think is really intelligent, what Jesse Marsh is doing, is he's playing Fonzie as a left back. Like, that's what he's done for the past couple of friendlies. Yes, he isn't involved in the attack as much, but Liam Miller, if he goes with Liam Miller on the left, and even Schaffelberg, they both like have defensive qualities. They're both like left wing backs. So yes, they'll play in front of Fonzie, but if Fonzie wants to get forward, he has like that cover from whoever is on the left, that it's not like the worst if he leaves some space in behind. The thing for Canada is just the attacking options. I love Jonathan David, but he just was terrible at the World Cup. He hasn't had like a really, really great time with Canada recently. He's been fine for in the Liga. He's been fine there, but
yeah,
it's always
can't put it together for sure.
Yeah. So that's a big question mark. And Kyle Larin's getting up there in age, and I don't know. That's the one scary part for me, but I think like the midfield looks pretty decent. The wingers look decent. The defense looked good against France. So you just got to hope that it all comes together.
Yeah.
Yeah, look, I think drawing Argentina for the first game is a little unlucky. I don't want that to discourage them because it's the world champions, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It would have been way better. Imagine you guys play Argentina third game. They're already qualified. They rotate. That could have been so much better. But
yeah,
first game, opening game, they're going to want to come strong, show out.
Opening game as well, yeah.
We'll have to see.
As long as we don't get like pummeled, then I'm okay with it.
No, I agree with you. I totally agree.
If we have like a similar performance, like remember like the Belgium game at the last World Cup, where like we lost, but like
played so well.
Like, we were coming out that game looking like pretty, like we were feeling really good.
Yeah,
and so yeah.
Dude, that'll
I'm,
be,
I have a good feeling with this group.
That'll be fun to watch together for sure.
I know it'll be. I'm predicting us to come.
I know. So just a couple things about Argentina before we go. So obviously they can go back to back in a sense, like the World Cup and then the next major tournament. That'd be fun for them. You know, Dybala didn't make the squad.
Yeah.
Which he had a pretty decent season for Roma. Like, he didn't have a bad season at all.
He did, but he's never fit into that he's never been good for Argentina, first of all. And yeah, in the World Cup, he didn't even play for them. He scored one penalty in the final, and that's it.
So, fair enough, I guess. Antoine, I got a name for you. I want to know if you know. You know, Valentin Carboni?
I don't.
He plays for for Monza.
Really?
Yeah.
French?
So he.
I saw him in Football Manager.
I'm actually. Did you hear what I just said?
What?
I said French.
Oh no.
he's a French name, Valentin.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But no, plays for Monza. He had a cool game against Guatemala, and he's like 19. So that's one of the little boys you might need to look out for. But that's kind of all
another Argentinian star. Yay!
I know. How
kill
exciting!
Me now.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's a fun. We can go on to the next group though.
All right. So we're saying Argentina first, Canada second?
Yeah, I think so.
Let's do it. Let's be optimistic here.
And then the bottom two don't really.
Canada first.
Both going home.
Canada first.
Okay. Group B, we got Ecuador, Jamaica, Mexico, and Venezuela.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty balanced group, in my opinion. Mexico isn't that top dog anymore. So although people may be saying they're going to finish first, there's room for the Ecuadors and the Venezuelas. Jamaica's like the heavy non-favorite in here. But the other three could be interchangeable, in my opinion.
Personally, I think these Mexico team are complete frauds. No Ochoa this time, no Raul Jimenez. And you know what was a really big surprise to me is no Chucky Lozano.
So what's going on? Why no Raul Jimenez?
I don't know, man. I guess manager just said it's not good enough. Like, go to like the FOP. If you go on FOP Mob and you go on Mexico's like recent
their squad,
their squad and like their recent game against Panama, I think it was against Brazil when they lost. Yeah, they lost to Brazil.
Mm-hmm.
And just go on their lineup and. Yeah, it's a lot of good. Like people I don't know. You got Alvarez from West Ham.
Yeah.
And then
this Jimenez striker here. He's like, he's from Feyenoord. I've heard good things.
Yeah.
Nothing.
But
I mean, like if they all play in like the Mexican league and they all like play together, like they have like good chemistry, like that, like you could right. build something off that.
Right. 100%. But I mean,
just because we don't recognize them doesn't mean they can't do well.
100%.
However,
their players that have done well in the leagues outside of the Mexican league, the ones that are known for being, you know, on the team. I know Alexis Vega, that's a career mode guy too. But I don't know. I think they're gonna be frauds, and they've been frauds for a little bit. They were frauds in the qualifying, like last couple years in the CONCACAFs, the games in the CONCACAF against Canada and the US, they have not looked good. There's been a lot of like turmoil within the Mexican fan base about how they haven't been happy with their squad. So I don't know. I really, really don't like the way they look going into this tournament. And hey, I could be wrong, but I also don't like Mexico in general. So I don't know. Could be a bit biased there.
You said Jamaica's looking pretty bad too, eh, Blake?
Yeah. So again, there's just a lot of players who you think would be on the team, just not on the team. So when you think of Jamaica, who's the one player you think of? You think of Leon Bailey.
Bailey.
Yeah, he's just not on the squad.
Really?
So he said he got disciplined for, I don't know, breaking curfew or some random shit. And then he said he was going to take time off of the national team. And then the coach called him back up to the national team. But then like 4 days ago, he just declined it. He said, nah, I'm not going.
Hey, good on him. That's showing discipline.
I guess so. I mean, again, they have like Ethan Pinnock from Brentford. They have Reed from Fulham, DeMario Gray,
Reed Mikel Antonio.
Like, I think they have a better chance. I know I'm just going off name brand, but I don't know. I think like if you want a team that could challenge Mexico for the top of the group, maybe Jamaica does it. It's gonna be tough.
Jamaica is undefeated in 2024.
Hey.
They have played four games and not lost one. There you go. And that includes a draw against the U.S. So, hey.
There you go.
It's one of those don't write them off teams. Little
dark horse contender in this group.
Boy, Sudakov is about to take a free kick.
I know. Blake, don't spoil it.
Don't spoil it.
Don't spoil it.
It's my player to watch.
Solid, like 25 yards out. This is looking
pretty good. I'm blocking Blake's screen. No facial reaction. Go on, Suda.
Apologies.
You just know this is sailing over.
He's stepping up for the free kick. That was on target, too.
That was on target, too.
Off the wall and over.
No, you just know that was on target. Yeah. Fucking drag us in, man.
What were you saying,
Drew? Sorry, continue, boys.
Okay. The other two teams are very, like, unconvincing. So Ecuador has never not qualified for the Copa America. They're one of the only teams like that.
Yeah.
Kind of tells you what you need to know about the quality here at this tournament. But if they make it out of the group, it will be their third time doing that in 9 attempts.
Yeah.
So they're pretty used to showing up, playing through games.
And getting out.
They're hoping that Ener Valencia will lead them to
hey, and Caicedo. And Caicedo.
Oh, yeah. And Caicedo. I forgot about Caicedo.
Yeah.
And then the other one is Venezuela, who is the only Commonwealth team to have never made the World Cup.
Oh, I didn't know that.
But they have a new coach that just came in after they didn't qualify for 2022. And since then, they're unbeaten in 5 of the opening 6 quality games for 2026. So they're in good form.
Okay. Good to know.
So very up in the air, this group.
Interesting.
So I don't know what you guys want to predict. I'm going to say...
I want to go Jamaica top in the like group. I want to go Jamaica top in the group.
Whoa.
Okay,
Jamaica top in the group, Mexico second, or Venezuela second?
Like, you could sell me on a dream where Venezuela gets second.
Yeah.
Let's go bold, dude. Why not?
Honestly? Oh, fucking hell. Okay, let's go bold. Venezuela second. What are we doing? Okay. What's wrong with us, man? All right, Group C. Bolivia, Panama, Uruguay, USA.
Yeah, boys, Uruguay might win the tournament.
Top two here.
Yeah.
My boy Uruguay versus US
will be a great game.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm going to instantly put Uruguay top in this group.
Yeah, yeah. Uruguay's top in this group. Do you want to jump in?
And then I think USA second is pretty solid, but tell us more, Blake.
Yeah, so they've just been... Uruguay's been cooking recently, like in general. They beat Brazil and Argentina in the past year of international football, and they just beat Mexico 4-0 in a friendly and a Darwin hat trick. What's been working is they have a good mix of youth and experience. So they have like the Facundo Palestris and the Nicolas de la Cruz, who's like an attacking midfielder for them, who's been really working well. But they also have like your Valverdes and your Nunezes, who's also young. And Suarez has made the team, actually, who I don't know how much he's going to play.
Yeah,
but yes. And Ugarte. Thank you. Yes.
Thank you. I was waiting for that. Should be the first name on the list.
The one thing that I think some of the fans are insecure about is Bielsa just a kind of can be get a little stubborn at times. So that could be like his inability to change and adapt could be a bit of what could go wrong for them. But I think if they are 80% of what they're capable of, they can absolutely win the whole thing. And that should be their goal.
Yeah, definitely among the top three favorites, in my opinion. They're up there with the Argentinas and the Brazils.
Mm-hmm.
Talent-wise, they absolutely should be. I freaking love this team, man.
It's almost like a new era. US, ever since the Forlans and the Cavani's left.
Yeah.
It was like that middle phase where they weren't really achieving anything. You had that World Cup quarterfinals in 2018, but apart from that, it was kind of dead.
Yeah.
But now, all these youngsters coming in, the manager looks like he's doing something good. He's proven in the past that he could win this tournament. I'm here for it.
Yeah.
I'm here for it as well. What do we think about the US, boys?
Also a good team.
Like, I'm on too paper, biased.
You can't lie. They have a decent little team.
Yeah, they do.
Come on, with draw against Brazil.
Almost all their players play in Europe.
Yep.
Yeah. No, I was surprised actually. Like the MLS on their Instagram put out like a list of all the players who are going to the Copa America. There's like three Americans in the MLS who are going to the American squad.
Really?
Only three or something. Yeah, something really, really low.
Wow.
They're like talented. It's annoying to say, but they have a good bulk of players. They have a favorable group, which helps. They're back. They do have some connective tissue there too. Like they got the Tim Ream, Anthony Robinson, Fulham link up on the left side of the defense. I got another guy for you. You know, Yunus Musa, Antoine.
Yep. Of course. Yeah, I
did. That one's not really niche, but you know, he was an Arsenal. I was looking last night. He's a fucking Arsenal Academy boy.
No way.
Yeah. So, I don't know how many, he played against Brazil, I believe. I don't know how many minutes he'll get, but I think he might be a really big, important part of this American midfield. But they just need someone to break up. They need like someone to break up the play a little bit. Cause with Gio Reyna being attacking and Musa being kind of more attacking, they need Tyler Adams or McKennie to do their thing. And I don't really trust them to do their thing that well. We didn't even talk about the swap deal for Douglas Luiz. And
yeah, we need to talk about that.
Yeah.
And McKennie. Crazy, crazy swap deal, by the way.
So strange.
Juve are winning that one by a landslide.
Oh, absolutely. It's not even close.
I know.
But yeah.
Yeah. Is it McKennie going the other way to Villa?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's already stunk up the Prem with Leeds.
I know. It's not like,
yeah, I don't know what he can do at Villa.
Why is that happening?
It's not looking good, bruv.
Yeah, that's so dumb. I mean, like, Aston Villa have been so smart with their transfers anyways.
I know, it's weird.
Maybe Douglas Luiz just want to go. And
probably.
Anyways.
Jude, do you have anything about Panama and Bolivia?
You're going to love what I have to say about Bolivia. So I did my research about them and I came to a conclusion. I'm calling them the Toronto Maple Leafs of Copa America. Hear me out.
Wait. I think I know what you're going
to
say.
Despite featuring in every Copa America edition since their iconic triumph in the 60s,
super iconic, yeah.
They have only made it out of the group stages, the first round, four times, most recently in 2015.
Oh. So, got a lot to love about this team then. That's hilarious.
I think I feel a special connection with Bolivia, boys. And I might have to tip them to win the whole thing.
I think
it's their year.
Shut the fuck up, Jim.
All right. Panama, it's their second ever Copa America appearance. They're relevant next.
Cool.
Okay.
So final group.
Group D. I love this group, boys. I love this group.
It's fun.
Brazil, Colombia, Costa Rica, and Paraguay.
Mm. Fun little group, this.
So y'all must have saw what Ronaldinho said about.
I saw.
About the draw with the U.S.
So dumb, bro. So
you know,
dumb.
I am sick of Brazil football. If they win the Copa America, I'm not celebrating. What are you doing, lad? What are you really doing? What is going on?
Well, you saw what he said. You saw what he said afterwards. He said it was a marketing stunt. He's actually going to watch them like never before.
Bro, but it's just like...
Bro, I don't blame the guy. He's like me watching United every week, all right? Every Sunday, I'm never watching this team again. I'm done. And then the next day, I'm so
bad. But as a professional football player, especially, like, you must know what it's like to have these... almost a goal for Ukraine. These low moments in... whether it's club football or international football.
Yeah.
We rarely ever see a team that just does good consistently, apart from City and Real Madrid, which he hasn't played in any of those two teams. So he must know, especially him, how it's like to have low moments in his footballing career. I don't know why he's coming out and saying that, because even you look at the Brazilian talent, it's nowhere near what it was before.
Yeah. And in this,
I mean,
sorry, go ahead, Joe.
Go ahead. No, you go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, like,
you're an expert here.
Not even, just a lot of names out too. Obviously no Neymar. That's not a surprise. Ederson's hurt. A bunch of the Premier League Brazilians aren't in there. No Casemiro, no Gabriel Jesus, no Richarlison.
I find it interesting that the coach is leaning more towards the Brazilian league players.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of Brazilian league players in there.
Yeah, there is. There is. And again, that connective tissue, like Ju said with Mexico, it might help them. And obviously Brazilian league is pretty, it's better than the Mexican league. Let's be real here, boys. But I mean, they still have a strong squad. Like, I don't even think their central defenders. You got Marquinhos, Gabriel, Ademir Letao, Bremer. You got your boy Beraldo, Antoine. Their midfield is good. I mean, and then you got Vinny, and you can't ever count out Vinny. So I get it's not what it was.
This tournament is going to be like a peek into their next generation.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think Neymar's got another tournament in him, so the World Cup's kind of going to be around him. But I think, we got like Endrick coming up. We got Vinny being the star of the team for the first time. We got all these guys coming through.
Vinny, Endrick, Rodrigo. Young. It's a fun-ass front three.
Ooh.
It's a fun-ass front three.
Yeah. I fucking love this team, boys. They might be my pick to win.
And the fact that we're going to see that all year round with Real Madrid is just stupid.
I know.
Off the bench, too, you got Lucas Paqueta. You got Rafinha. Yeah, dude. You have Gabriel Martinelli. Even Savio from Girona. Evan Nilsson from Porto. He is.
Bullshit.
I know. Even in midfield, you didn't mention Ederson. From Atalanta, he's been like highly linked with some big teams.
Yeah. Okay.
And he's like very highly touted. 24 years old, valued at like 40 million euros.
Nice.
Center midfielder. So nice. I'm looking forward to watching him because I've heard good things.
Nice, dude.
Yeah man.
I like it.
So I'm
see
now I've done my research for a Copa America. I'm excited.
Me too. That's what I'm saying. And I'm excited for Colombia too. Like, I don't mean you were talking about that, but Antoine, guess how long, when was the last time that Colombia lost? Give me a guess.
Isn't it 25 games?
Yeah. The last time they lost was February 1st, 2022.
Wow.
So they're on some sort of hot streak. They beat USA 5-1 just a couple weeks ago. They got some young talent like Duran from Villa. They have Yasser Asprilla, who's another career mode legend that if you know, you know. I didn't even know him. I only know him from career mode. But I don't know. I don't even know how it's working. Like
their talent's not even anything like insane.
No,
it's nothing like crazy. But just the way that they've been playing recently, like led by Luis Diaz, Luis Sinisterra at the back too. I like. I think you know this name, Antoine. But that new Crystal Palace center back, Daniel Munoz.
Oh, my God. He is so good.
Love that
guy. I might be gassing, but he's so good.
No, absolutely. And guys, like, James is still a very important part of this team if he's healthy. Which is...
Is he now?
Yeah, which is fun to... Which is fun to think about that, like, you're right. There's a lot of... We're kind of in between eras with a lot of these guys.
Oh, my God.
Like, a lot of these teams, you know? We have, like, the young talent on one side, and then the outgoing oldies, so to say, that are still kind of a staple. But yeah, if James Rodriguez can stay healthy throughout the tournament, he's going to be a crucial part of facilitating for this team.
Yasser Asprilla, I've known for years, but he's still only 20. What?
Yeah, I'm glad you've known about that name. I love that. I love that, dude.
He always had insane potential.
So
bro,
good
you potential. Had career mode. I had football manager. Like,
it works, bro. It works. You probably have the bulk of the career mode. Only scratches the surface, bro. It's not even close.
Yeah, I'm feeling really good about Colombia. I think. Yeah,
me too. I think Brazil Colombia is definitely the 1-2 of this group.
Could even be Colombia Brazil at this point.
All right, so I want to say one quick thing about Costa Rica is again just another player left out is not left out. He's retired from international football, but. Keylor Navas. And
moment of silence.
Yeah. And Ju, anything you got on group D?
Watch out for Joel Campbell. He's still kicking it at 31 years old.
He was the
original star boy in that the 2014 World Cup. He's still kicking it for Costa Rica and he's still their only bright spot. It's their first time here since 2016, and I think it'll be a quick trip.
Yeah.
Anyways, and in Paraguay are like, they haven't scored in their last 5 or 6 games. They got Miguel Almiron and Julio Enciso and nobody else. So yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
Anything can happen, of course.
Man, you try to have a soft spot for these South American teams, but or like just an American team, but holy shit, the European nations are just so clear. It's just not even funny. The depth of the European nation is so far ahead of South America and Central America, North America, and Africa. Like, it's really, really, mm-hmm. really insane.
Although, like, sometimes I guess this Romanian performance is kind of proving to us that, like, even when there are zero indicators that a team will make a run,
yeah,
like, sometimes shit just happens, bro.
Yeah.
So, like, any team can be a fucking dark horse. Any team can upset my dark horse. Fuck you, Romania. Yeah. Any team could just pull a long shot every 20 minutes.
Pretty much, dude. Cook. Catch a goalie on a bad day and.
Jesus, man.
It's over.
Yeah. Anyways, that is Copa America, boys. And then I have. Do we want to do knockout predictions?
Yeah, just run it through quick.
It's quarterfinals onwards.
Yeah.
Let's just run it quick. So we got Brazil first in this group with Colombia second, or other way around?
Yeah, put Brazil first.
Okay. So that means. Oh. Oh, hold on. Okay. So first is Argentina versus Venezuela.
Okay. Argentina.
Argentina. So if we come second in our group, we're going to play the winner of group B,
which
in Jamaica? Our predictions is Jamaica.
Oh.
Little semifinals run, boys.
So give me Canada.
Yeah.
Give me Canada.
Yeah.
Give me Canada.
Hold on. Whoever wins that group, I'm okay with us playing.
Yeah.
If we get second, that's awesome. Like,
yeah, like either Mexico, Venezuela, or mm-hmm. Jamaica.
Absolutely. I'm okay with any of the three.
Ecuador. Like,
nice.
Yeah. Oh my God. Okay. Oh my God. This is so unfair. Uruguay versus Colombia.
Oh.
There's no way that's a quarterfinal game.
We're getting it so easy, boys. Holy shit.
Jeez. Yaremchuk hits the bar.
Yo, Ukraine have had so many chances.
You know what? I'm going to back Uruguay. They're my pick. I love Colombia. I love what they're doing, but I got to back Uruguay.
I'm going to go Colombia.
I would say Colombia.
Bro. Yo, you two always gang up on me. Fuck, man. Okay, fine. Run it. That's fine.
They're hipsters. And then we got Brazil versus USA.
Oh.
I love these games. I love these games.
They're fun. Give me Brazil, though.
Yeah. Give Brazil.
Brazil. Okay, so that gives us semifinal one is Argentina versus Canada. Semifinal two is Colombia versus Brazil. Fucking hell, boys.
Yeah.
I love this. I say Argentina.
Yeah.
Sorry, boys, but I say Argentina. And then I say Brazil.
Give me Colombia. Low key.
I'll go Brazil.
25 games unbeaten. 25. It's not a small achievement.
The only thing is there's no major tournament in those 25.
That's fair.
Which obviously, yeah. Because like they would have fucking won the whole thing.
I'm still going to say Brazil. That like gives us a final. Oh, yeah, there's Brazil. there's a bronze medal game. So Canada versus Colombia.
Oh, if we get a bronze medal, I would cry.
Come on, Blake.
Yeah, I go Colombia.
Yeah, Colombia, and then Argentina versus Brazil.
See, I go Argentina here, but if you told me that Uruguay, Argentina, I think Uruguay wins.
Really?
I think I'm so high on Uruguay this tournament. And I could be wrong, but I think their squad is so talented. I think they have the manager to do it. I think this is the tournament for them to do something. Ooh.
Fair. I would still say Brazil.
Fair.
I like them. Why is Budrick shooting? Something about this team. Whoa, what the heck?
You're the tiebreaker, Antoine. What is it? Brazil or Argentina?
I'm going to say Argentina go back to back.
Okay.
Yeah, I see that too. Okay, so that gives us this bracket here. Argentina backed as the Real Football Podcast sponsored winners of the Copa America. And lads, that is going to do it for this episode. Man, how excited are we for Copa America now?
I'm actually now fucking
feeling
pumped.
A little bit more.
I'm
There's
pumped.
So many games to watch. It's going to be insane.
And you know what's the
everything
best part?
Mixed with Euros, everything. Oh my
I
God.
I know. Oh
and,
my
and
God.
And they're all at different times, baby.
Oh, that's all such a dub.
I know.
Romania just won 3-0.
Wow, it is full time. Romania beats Ukraine 3-0. That is an all-time fraud check.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go crazy in the Euros recap today.
Yep.
Fuck, man. Wow. Damn. Okay. Oh, well, this ended perfectly. All right. Shout out to all the Romanians out there. let's wrap this up, boys. It's been a great episode of the Real Football Podcast. I've enjoyed my time. Thank you, too, for coming on.
Mm-hmm. Right. Thank you, Julian. And, thank you, Blake,
maybe we'll pod again.
Drew did some homework too. He did his homework too.
He did.
I did an hour. Maybe we'll come back on like Friday, maybe like a post Canada game reaction, mm-hmm. like whenever we can. Yeah, there's so much Euros action and Copa America action that I think we do actually need to up our pod schedule.
Yeah.
If we want to keep up with it.
I agree.
We'll see how it goes. Anyways, boys. So I'll see you then. And hope you have a great rest of your week and a great rest of these tournaments to everybody listening. And with that being said, Blake, take us away.
We out.
See ya.